This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Well, let's start out the week with the Duggars, shall we? We've got a lot of reaction to this story over the last 72 hours. So we're going to get into it because there's a lot of confusion, a lot of complicated dynamics in this story. It's kind of picking up where we left off a couple years ago with Josh, and now apparently another sibling. I guess when you have 19 kids and counting, I guess your odds do go up a certain amount that there is going to be some level of criminal behavior, but then you start to see a pattern of the same sort of things over and over, and it starts to make you go, huh, what's going on here? So we're going to do just that, and I want you guys to weigh in the comment section on YouTube and Substack or Facebook or wherever you're watching us and listening to us right now so you can be part of the conversation as well. With me, as always, Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. So the Duggars, they're here in my town. Like, I've run into them several places over the years. I opened the door for Jim Bob not that long ago at a burger restaurant. And I didn't even realize, I'm like, oh, and they just kept coming. It was like a clown train.
You could tell by the tribe behind him.
It was literally like, I'm there and I'm like, just like opening the door, like as you do. And I'm like, he looks familiar. I'm like, oh God, it's them. And then they just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And they were, I mean, it was just a simple interaction. They were very friendly and polite. I was polite back. I was hoping to God they hadn't seen me go off on rants about their brother, which I don't think they did. But
they don't do social media till they're married.
Yeah, is that part of the thing? Is it like once you get married, you may use the internet?
Yeah. Oh, so Tony, you know, we're chatting before the show. This weekend was all about learning about the Duggars, and that's why I'm smiling. I love myself a great cult, God, man.
This is all our opinion. This is, you know, allegedly, insert all that stuff there.
And when you read the, you know, I've been listening to Jill's book all week, well, probably yesterday and today mostly, and I'm about 3 or 4 hours into it. And it's, I love, because, you know, when you have source material that gives you great context rather than just court material, it really gives you a deeper understanding of what makes people do things, how this actually happened. And so that's what I've been able to kind of really pour through. So I've been really diving deep. And man, I just, cults are, and again, I characterize it as a cult. They wouldn't say it's a cult. And it's kind of on the fringes of it. And we'll obviously dive into it. But it's a definitely fascinating belief system, which, if it wasn't corrupted by evil deeds, you know, it's wholesome, it's nice, it's, and to a degree, you know, so, yeah.
Well, I mean, couldn't, like, any religion, I guess, be wholesome and nice to a certain, I mean, I guess there's some you could clearly argue could not be, but...
But
I think, if a pure one at its core, where it's not trying to control people, where it's, but at the end of the day, aren't they all trying to control people?
That is when you really dive religion. Deep.
Yeah.
The oldest religion is control. And that's what it all comes. And again, as a species, you know, just evolutionarily wise, you know, we didn't evolve beyond, you know, what chimpanzees can do is roughly 100, 150 is the biggest tribe they can manage. But the way you go beyond that, the way we did as a species, is religion, because it offered a cause and effect control. It was the first legal system that comes into play. So there's consequences for actions. And so it allows us to evolve as a society. It's how we did evolve. But there's oodles and oodles of religions out there, offsprings of them, offspurts. But in all these cases where they take such a, and again, when you dive into the background of their religion, I can't remember.
IBLP, I believe.
Right. Fundamentalist Baptist, basically, you know, really extreme conservatism. There's a lot of really nice things in there when it comes to family and feeling safe. And the whole premise is to, how do you feel safe and provide a sense of security in a chaotic world? I mean, that's what really attracts people into this. But inevitably you get some nutter in there that does a lot of harm when they take advantage of that system. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I saw, in case you're just getting caught up here and wondering what's going on, Joseph Duggar is the latest one to face charges. He's 31. He was arrested on March 18th of this year, 26, in Arkansas. He faces charges in Bay County, Florida, related to an alleged incident from 2020 during a family vacation in Panama City Beach. Now, before everybody starts jumping into the, well, that was 5 years ago. Yeah, and the kid was 9. Okay, they're 14 now. Because I've already heard this argued this weekend, where the first thing is, well, it was like 5. Yeah, they were 9. They know what that. Good luck figuring out what's happening to you from those that are around you that are supposed to be respectable, trustworthy, and very godly adults. And then you turn out a couple of years later. Oh, you mean what he was doing to me under the blanket was inappropriate? Yeah, and you wouldn't know it when you're 9 unless that has been exposed to you as something horrible and bad. Well, he came clean on it. Like, he's admitted to it. So anybody who's going to go down the road of, well, it's these years later, he's admitted to it.
Yeah. You know why? It's part of the religion.
Yeah.
So as long as as long as you admit it and your sin is forgiven, that's what it's all about.
So is it just don't get caught then? I mean, if you get caught, then you got to admit it. But if you're admitting to it, then you know it was wrong.
But you only admit it to parents because parents are the ultimate authority, not the legal system. Although they don't tell you not to talk to the legal system. So it's, again, they have their hierarchy and that's what I've been doing my deep dive on. It's like, how does this system work? And so the parents are the ultimate authority at all times. Honor thy parents. And Jill in her book was talking originally about how she thought that was until the age that they get their own families, their own marriage, but it doesn't really end. Because if you think about it, they have reps from a very, very young age. So for the sake of argument, we'll use the word cult, not in a negative context or anything, just as a collective mindset. So when we think of cults and we think of like the Vance Davidians or whatever it is, you know, and people that are sucked into these groups and organizations at an older age, then those reps they have as part of the indoctrination only happen for a period of time. And a lot of times, once they're mature or mature-ish in their 20s, maybe late teens, 30s, 40s, what happens is that inside a family of, you know, 14, I think when they started the TV specials on the Learning Channel, and then up to 19, you're indoctrinated in reps from birth that this is the way it is, this is what makes you feel safe, because they use throughout all the descriptions, fear is the greatest motivator, and the only way to overcome fear is to feel safe in family, and who makes you feel safe is the parents and their belief in God. So it's the structure is very cloistered, very exclusive, but it's also like every time they're exposed to something, the parents would explain it. The parents would say, do this, do this, do this. They had a lot of what they thought was transparency and openness and communication internal to the family, but they were never educated, Jill said, on sex education. It was very, very rudimentary, not appropriate or not appropriate. And the big thing above all else was forgiveness. Always must forgive, and it's a sin not to forgive. So they were in fear of not forgiving abhorrent behavior. See, I mean, it's a bad cycle if something really wrong happens.
Yes, it locks in predatory behavior.
Yes, over it does.
And, I mean, it enables it completely. And you hope to, and I guess here, I don't know if this is the theory of it, where it's like, okay, if everyone in this religion or in this family is perfect and without sin, which none of them are, I guess it could function okay, you know, but that's assuming that there's not one bad apple in here that's going to push it too far. Because, I mean, and in principle, the forgiveness thing, I mean, it's okay if you're like playing basketball or something and somebody shoved somebody a little bit too much. My bad. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I got, you know, innocent things like I stole a cookie, whatever, things that aren't like traumatizing for the rest of one's life. Then okay, I get that. But the thing is, it's like they seem to like enter it on this plane of delusion that nobody would ever go and do the horrific shit that these Duggar children have been accused of doing and have admitted to doing. It's like that assumption, it's like it doesn't equate. So it's never considered in the whole factor of existence, in the way that these people function, because, well, nobody does that. We're all godly human beings. And then the second someone does, it's not necessarily, let's prevent this from happening again. It's just ask for forgiveness and move on.
Right, because there's no accountability.
Yeah, as if it were something really minute.
No accountability. And at the first iteration that Josh was accused of this, the thing that Jill pointed out also was there was no therapy. There's no counseling. No. They don't believe any of that. They sent them away to work hard. That's it. Every time he had a transgression, just go work harder. We'll separate you from the family. You'll be fixed by hard work, and then you come back. Zero accountability for that. And we talked about last week with Coffendeffer a bit, you know, this actually, no, it wasn't Coff. It was Siobhan, love bombing that they do in these in particular cases. And so what's happening here is, you know what, Jill, it really struck me reading it and listening to it with Jill, one of the siblings, was they validation bomb you. So you're constantly going for approval, always approval. So your actions, if they're righteous actions, you get approval. And that's what all the children were seeking, was approval. And so who defines what you get approval for? The parents. And so the internal structure is extremely rigid and kind from their context. It's a fascinating situation they're in.
Yeah, and how could you go up against the leaders, because they just seem like kind of jovial doofuses.
Yeah.
I mean the aura, I would say, that Jim Bob had put out for all those years of I'm just kind of this goofy guy, you know, like not threatening. When you see him, there's plenty of threatening folks out there that are like, oh God, he's not one of them.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what we saw on the surface. That's what we saw publicized. When we actually get down to, you know, some more brass tacks and accusations from behind the scenes, it's like, oh, maybe everything was not as perfect as all supposed to be. I'm not accusing him of any crime or anything like that.
And no malicious intent. Yeah. I mean, not malicious, you know, and we see that with other cults. You know, this is not a Lori Daybell Vallow kind of cult. This is no malicious intent. This is just stupid.
It's malicious through ignorance, is what it is.
Yeah,
and I think in a lot of ways,
incidental maliciousness. There you go.
And at some point, where does the line get drawn? Where your head's in the sand? Pull it out. Pull your ass out of the sand. This is insane. Because it keeps going. You can't keep pretending that there's not a problem here, or you're just going to pray it away. But that seems to be the way that they try to do it. Joseph, the one who's been charged now, he grew up watching his family protect Josh from consequences for years. If you want to go way back, we don't have to relitigate Josh. But we get into that where he had the accusations against the sisters. The sisters came out. The sisters were kind of forced to go on Megyn Kelly and downplay all the bullshit, which was then they've talked about in years later in Shiny Happy People and in her book, to basically, you know, kind of keep the peace, keep everybody happy. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even know what happened. It turns out, they did. And Josh knew what he was doing, too. And then they kept pretending that Josh didn't know anything about the birds and the bees all the way up to his televised wedding. I mean, it was just one big ruse the whole time. And I don't buy for a second that Jim, Bob, and Michelle weren't aware that, you know, this was going on. They were aware, but they seemed to think that he was healed and that these sort of things wouldn't continue on. And then he goes on into life, has this car dealership, and then gets busted because he partitions off his computer to have a second half of it strictly for CSAM material, basically. And that's why he's in jail now until 2032 or something. Right. So there's Josh. So Joseph grows up watching this, and he watches some of the family run away, some of the family depart and have nothing to do anymore, while mom and dad, everybody sits there, we will love our children forever, and we forgive, and blah, 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 blah. So when you have this going on, and basically there's not any real consequences, I guess, to the actions from within the family. It's still love. It's still this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Josh is away. Josh's reaction to this has been, we'll get to that in a little bit. He was calling it, he used a term that was insane. Basically stating that this whole thing is just exploitation, and it's fantasy. When his brother
he set himself up as a victim.
Yeah, it's like, no, Josh, this is nothing to do with you. This is not sensationalized fiction, is what he said. He admitted to it, Josh. It's not fiction. I don't know what world you like to live in where you're still saying everything's fiction. He clearly hasn't really atoned for his sins, if you will, if he's still kind of going down that road. What do you think about this? Just the fact that you have this sort of environment growing up. You have a brother who had been accused of these things, who's been found guilty of these of offenses, you know, in this range. Is it remotely shocking at all then that you have another sibling that somehow seems to go down this road? I mean, even worse road, I would say, than Josh, because he's a grown ass adult.
Yeah, the research I did on this asking that same question: how does this happen? So the research will show, who knows what happened to this family. There's been no reports of this, but the research will show that typically a pedophile inside a family, it just doesn't blossom out of nowhere. There's been some sort of exposure in the past that actually gives them this idea of this, especially if it's internal to the family. So, that's just a nugget to be kept aware of, that there's been no charges, there's no other claims of anything, but it just doesn't blossom. But I then did some research. How would it blossom? How would this happen if there was no prior exposure to this? Is someone just miswired or rewired or whatever the hell's going on, you know, the nature versus nurture thing? There might be some of that, but the way the household structure and their religion and home was laid out, it was set up for this, and this is how. Very small house when they're growing up, basically three bedrooms, as I understand it, you know, one for all the girls, one for all the boys.
And then they got their compound eventually when the TV show kicked in.
Right. You know? But very, very strict when it came to any kind of sexualization. There was none. And what they wore is very, very strict internally. They did not talk about the birds and bees. You didn't do any, you didn't even have social media. Social media wasn't allowed until you're married.
Yep.
When they went to a beach, when they went anywhere, they had a term they called Nike, which meant all the boys had to look down, because it was, and from their religious standpoint, it's the girl's fault if they're looking provocative to entice boys. That's doing a broad sweep.
It is. No, and it is. So, it's, yeah, they go right in the shiny, happy people.
Right. And so what happens is when you're in super close proximity, where family activity, where you are under blankets, you're cuddling, you're doing all these things, and you're not exposed to the sexuality that emerges as you start becoming teenagers and what is appropriate, not appropriate. And the big thing that plays into that is the ultimate authority of age. And so as Josh is one of the older males, everything trickles down. So everyone has to listen to and respect the authority, because they are the protectors. The males in this organization, in this religion, are the ultimate protectors for everyone feeling safe. And whatever they say is gospel, because they are the voice of God inside that house. And so that's where that perfect storm starts happening internally. And then when something does go sideways, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. It's a recipe for all it takes is one little bad seed and the entire thing blows up. Because, and my final point on this, I apologize, is so we've seen so many cases where people do abhorrent things, like Corey Richens, because she grew up with zero guardrails and so she's all over the place. I can do whatever I want. What's interesting here is there's very, very strict guardrails. There's guardrails for their religious behavior like this. But unfortunately, what they're doing to what Josh and his brothers accused of doing to the girls inside this house and others didn't really fall within that guardrail. It falls within legal guardrails. Legal guardrails are way out here, but the church guardrails and their household guardrails are here. So it was all nebulous. So it got forgiven in here. It never reached out here because we don't report. We keep things hushed. They are conflict avoiders to the nth degree. And what how do you avoid conflict? We don't share. We forgive. There you go.
Yeah. And I want to get into some of that, the more the legal ends of it, in our next segment, where we talk a little bit more about the religion itself, because it's insane.
I know. I was pouring out everything I was consuming the last couple of days.
I
know.
I fell asleep, and I've watched it before. I watched it when it came out a couple of years ago, Shiny Happy People, which is on Amazon. Highly recommend if you want to get a good education or a crash course on this.
Makes for good TV.
I fell asleep watching to it last night, and I had nightmares of the Duggars. I'm not even kidding. Like, I woke up, and I had her voice in my head, Mama, and she's talking like this and everything. I'm like, oh, my God. You know,
you have nightmares. I get giddy when I see craziness like this. I'm like, oh, man, this is a great show. Look at this crazy nutter.
It's Kendra. Let's talk about her. She was 19. This is the wife of Joseph here. She was busted over the on Friday, and I think there's a lot of confusion here. So I wanna make this clear.
Yep.
These are two separate cases. There's Arkansas charges. There's Florida charges. Florida charges are against. He looks like a freaking like one of those dolls that you like stick your hand in, like the Charlie McCarthy kind of like right. He looks like he could be a Charlie McCarthy family of dolls. We're looking at the image on YouTube right now. If you're by the way, anyway, there was two charges, Arkansas and Florida. The Arkansas charges, are different. Four counts of second degree false imprisonment, four counts of second degree endangering the welfare of a child. Why are there Arkansas charges and Florida charges? Well, because he has to be extradited back to Florida for his far more serious charges, lewd and lascivious charges of, I'm not going to say the words because I don't want YouTube to ban us, for victims less than 12 and lewd and lascivious behavior by a person 18 years or older. So it's because he was 18 years or older, and the allegations go back to when this child was 9. Apparently took a blanket, put him over them, and then used his hands. And holy shit. And then comes out the child finally realizes, hey, I've had this memory about this happening. Talks to dad about it. Dad gets on the phone with Joseph Duggar, and then also on a second call with a tiny town police officer here, a detective. And then he gets Joseph to admit it on the phone.
Yeah,
there you go. He did it. So Florida charges are that against him. The local ones, what happens in Arkansas, and I think in a lot of states, it automatically triggers a local investigation to what's going on here in their home because they have children. So they went to the compound, the one we've all seen on TV, and they discovered from, again, this part I can't confirm, but some reporting has been saying, essentially, and it makes sense with the charges here, of the false imprisonment, which basically comes down to they reversed locks, allegedly, on some of the doors. So meaning a door where the lock is on the outside, like into the hallway, and then the person on the inside can't get out. Kind of, you could create a false imprisonment in a bedroom or something if you wanted to. That's what some are reporting. I can't confirm it, but that it does kind of sound, it's a misdemeanor, it's a light charge, but it is what they found in the house when they went to go do their welfare check that was triggered by the charges in Florida. So she has that. She has another hearing coming up shortly. They're misdemeanor charges. But when you have someone like this, she's 19. She was raised in this sort of environment too by another family of the same faith, and I put in air quotes. Mm-hmm. And then you dig, then you become part of this family. I feel bad for her. I mean, she's a grown-ass adult too. She's in her 20s. At some point, and maybe this is the window. Maybe this is the bottom of the barrel. Maybe this is the warning sign here for you. The canary in the coal mine. But I think the canary just like swallowed half your family. Wake up and get the hell out. Because my God, look at what this system is. Look at what but she knows no different. And that's got to be such a difficult thing. I mean, you got Jill, who's written the book and has come out talking about her experiences. I guess start looking at other folks who've left this system as a place, a starting point to try and figure out a path out. I mean, what do you think here? Is this something where somebody hits this moment and they need to say, okay, no more?
Yeah, it's really, I'm just thinking about it, as you just laid everything out, Tony, it is literally world shattering.
Yeah.
Because from birth, from your first memories, you have this image of your parents, of your family, of this tight-knit, safe group that you have a belief system that has brought great security. You are love bombed, you are validation bombed, and none of it disingenuous either. And that's what I found really compelling about reading her book and understanding what's going on here. There's no intent of taking advantage of people. This is really about trying to overly protect your family and your kids, because in this religion, the kids are God's quivers. I think that's what they call them.
Yeah, you know? The quiverful movement. And then you also you start shitting out kids the second that you can. And because that anchors you into the family, and yep. You can't get out because this is where she's at. She's already shit out four kids. And now guess what? You're pretty much indoctrinated into this family.
And speaking out against that, how do you? Because that's your entire image of yourself and your entire world. It's not like you knew another world. Like people that are indoctrinated into cults later in life, they had a life before the cult, and so they can have a compare and contrast. There's no compare and contrast here. It's completely their identity. But it's striking because there's so many striking things. I actually looked at the Amish comparatively because Amish is another, you know, religious compartmentalized, you know, way of life thinking. And the Duggars have only 11%. I think this church in general has only 11% people that stay in the church. As opposed, I got the numbers. I think the Amish have 98% stay in the Amish. And so I researched, where are my numbers? Oh, 85% stay Amish. Here's why. Because the Amish, it's an entire way of life, an entire community. It's job security. It's learning a trade. It's responsibility. Now, granted, the claims of abuse are equal across all these across the two religions, because they keep them in house, they keep them internal, and so they don't get reported. So it's very hard to get accurate reporting. But because of the way that their church, being the Duggars, interact and allow people to interact with the regular world, there's a bigger draw, more temptation, and more chaos going on than the Amish community. It's interesting.
It is. And we're going to get into to the structure of the...
I'm sorry, am I jumping ahead on us again?
No. We're actually going to do that right now. We're going to start jumping into the structure of this, the IBLP, and really what has formed, what is the recipe? I mean, the Duggars, basically, you know, they're their own mixing bowl. They made their own recipe, their kids. And this is what we have. But what was the recipe? What was the bigger mixing bowl that made the Duggars? What created Jim Bob and his wife? What was behind all that? That's what we're about to get into in our next segment. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss it here in the feed, and give us your thoughts on this piece in the comment section on YouTube and Substack. We'd love to hear from you.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.